Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us all the help that we can be here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask you to bless those who are absent this day because of health reasons. We pray that the things that are done to them will be in such a way that they can regain their health and be back with us once again. For shut-ins, Father, we ask you to come within this place. Help us, Father, for us to praise you and to love you and care for you and most of all to do your will. And help us, Father, to worship you, we pray. From our hearts and from our minds, and Father, with the gratefulness that we have for you. Thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for the word that you've given us. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you very much. Thank you all for being here today. We have a number of folks out in regard to sickness, but we also have some out because they can serve. And I'm so glad that John and Miss Mary Jean can serve over there. Church in Tunica has about the same kind of numbers as we have. At the same time, they have one man that leads singing. He's the son of Brother Swindle. Brother Swindle, you remember, passed away back several months ago. And he's been sick over the last couple of weeks of time. And they just needed somebody other than Dennis Dowdy. Dennis Dowdy did a couple of weeks of singing. And he said, I've led everything I know. And said, I need your help if you can help. And I said, well, I've got some people that do singing. And each one I called had obligations today. Singing over this place, lead song this place, that place. And Travis wanted to do that. And he signed on the other, and I'll be glad to do that. Gabe and I'll go over there, we'll do that. But one or five songs, we'll get it done. And then yesterday morning he called, and he could hardly speak on the telephone, much less lead a song. So I knew that we had to make some changes there, and I called with Tom and Mary Jean about going over that way. I take his place today, and we'd be okay with worship service in both quarters. So it's a good time. Will you turn with me as we sing this morning, 603. 603. Every week I choose songs that relate to the lesson I'm going to present. And sometimes we sing those songs, and sometimes we don't along the way. But this is one of those songs that we have a part of our lesson study today. 603.
Walking along at evening, the sky is afar. Bidding the darkness come to welcome the silver star. I am a great divider, the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Oh, for home with God. Trusting in as my own, wheresoever my footsteps roam.
Song number 52.
Yeah.
19, verses 22 through 25. We read this occasion. And as they did eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." He promises to partake of this Lord's Supper in heaven as we are here on earth today, partaking of this in a physical way. We take our hearts up to a spiritual climb and worship the Lord.
Well, I rejoice that my prediction of 26 is true. We have 26 that have arrived here today, and that's a good thing to have done.
Good to be with you all this morning in every way, and thank you for your troubles and times that you have overcome to be here and to worship the Lord, worship Him, and bow before Him. If you would mark, please, number 50 in our song book, number 50, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, we'll use this particular song as an invitation song. After the lesson this morning, number 50. You mark number 50. And turn in your book, if you would please, number 248. 248. Let's sing the first and third verses of this old song. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Our study today is a study that involves the nature of God in heaven and the nature of man on earth. I think it's an important matter for us as we live to realize that a lot of things have been written in country music songs, for example, and spoken by various ones in misuses of the Bible text itself at times, about what heaven is really all about. When in fact, in the revelation of the Lord, in His Word, He tells us a great deal about what is coming in our future. What we find in the page of the Bible is very, very clear and very precise about it. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, it tells us that the body without the spirit is dead.
So is everyone that hath faith, but not works, is dead also. In James 2 at 26, he tells us something about where we are as we live here on this earth. We do not live simply because we are physical beings, but because we have a spirit within us. Solomon had mentioned about that spirit in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and at verse 7. When he speaks in regard to this spirit that is within the body, and how that the body will return to the dust of the earth from which it was made, but the spirit will return unto God who gave it. We understand that God gives us a spirit within us as we are developed in our mother's womb, and as a result of coming forth in this earthly life, we become the unique person that we are. And this body without the spirit will be dead. It'll be lifeless. We will not be able to hear anything. We'll not be able to eat anything. We'll not be able to say anything. We'll not be able to get up and go anywhere when we have passed away from this earthly life. But our spirit will return unto God who gave it. Significant this is in the pages of the Bible, because in Hebrews 12 at verse 9, it tells us the beginning and the close. It tells us we all have fathers after the flesh, and we reverence them. Earthly fathers after the flesh. Because of the studies that have been done in science, we know of the various orders that are involved with the seed, and the fact that this seed is planted, and that we are developed as a result of the outward body we find ourselves developing. We uniquely carry on the features of mothers and fathers. It's sometimes said that son is the spitting image of his father. And sometimes said that she is the spitting image of her mother. By which people say things in regard to they look like that person. If you just, at the age of time and circumstances, I remember one time I looked at a picture and it was a man standing in front of an old automobile on the river bridge. And the river bridge had a sign on it that said Mississippi River. And it was at Vicksburg. So I turned to my dad and I said, "When were we at Vicksburg on crossing the bridge and you stopped and had a picture made of me sitting on your knee?" He said, "I'm sorry, son, but that's not you and that's not me." He was the little boy on his daddy's knee. That was my granddad. At that age and time, they looked the same. My dad had grown older, of course, and he looked like my grandfather. And I mistakenly thought that he was the one who was standing there and I was on his knee. It was the other way around. It was my granddad was standing there and my dad was on his knee. And guess who I looked like at about that age and time, too? My old pictures did. I looked like my dad. All the circumstances of life are a part of that. We adopt those particular practices. Some adopt more than that. God invests within us in our lives. And so there are those that come along with a wonderful gift. A gift of music, for example. They put notes together and sounds together, and it can be people who not only sing but play, and they find themselves really been advantageous. Some have wonderful gifts, ability of mathematics. They don't just add 2 and 2 and get 4. They add 2 times whatever and get a whole bunch of things that send rockets to the moon. So there's all kinds of powers that people have been invested by God. And he wants us to use those gifts to his glory and to his benefit. There are things that we can do in life when we can say, "I didn't get that." Miss Jane will tell you a story or two in regard to when we were dating one another. And we would go out to various churches to preach and teach up in Tennessee. And I would ask her, I guess, a gift. I was told since I was a young man, my mom and dad said, "You have a gift. And we want you to use that gift." And so every night, we didn't turn on the television set. We didn't have it at the time. We turned off the radio set because we didn't have that program to be paid on it. And I preached every night virtually. And I would be given assignments by my mom and dad to do preaching on various books of the Bible, various teachings of the Bible. And I would do that. And then there were discussions. My dad was still the best. I called him devil's advocate to question why, what, how did that work that I've ever been around. I enjoyed the life with them and that activities with them. The question comes up for you and for me as we live life from day to day. What gift do we see that we have? Some have a farming gift. Some have a gift of good workmanship. They won't be content with just doing something. They'll want to do it just right. There are people who have a gift of safety. They don't want just to do anything. They want to, when that car is jacked up, they want to be sure it's propped up just right so it won't roll off the jack. There's a lot about life for which we look up and thank God that we have that particular awareness within our spirit, within our ways of life. Some people in Jesus' day and time, in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 29, it's also found in Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 24. Question came up from those about a woman who was married and her husband died. In other words, we understand from our verses already, the spirit of life had left him and he physically had died and was buried. This happened again. She married his brother. Leveret marriage type of procedures. And he also died. Until the fifth of the brothers. Now then they asked Jesus the question, in the morning of the resurrection, whose wife will she be? In the afterlife, whose wife will she be? Jesus said to them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, particularly, he says, for in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels. That's led some to believe that we become angels when we die. It's a nice thought and idea in mind, but Jesus really didn't say you become an angel when you die, but he says we are like the angels. We behave like the angels. Not in a marriage relationship, but in a relationship to the Lord Himself. The Apostle Paul dealt with some brethren in 1 Corinthians 15 who began to doubt the coming of the Lord and doubt the resurrection. And he said to them, but some of you say, with what body do they come? Talking about resurrection from the grave into what body do they come up with? And he said, foolish, foolish people, do you not realize? You go out and you have a garden and you plant a seed in that garden. You plant many seeds in that garden. When you plant those particular seeds, that which comes forth is not at all resembling that which was planted. You plant that seed and that seed germinates and it gives a stalk, has root system to it, flowers come out and leaves come out and a fruit is born on the side of it. If you plant that corn seed comes up and makes many other corns, and on that ear of corn, it has enough power in each one of those kernels there to do that whole garden once again. Now here it is that we have this power and this work within us. The question comes, what about us? We are eternal people. Now the outward flesh, no, we're not eternal here. It's subject to illnesses. It's subject to hurts and pains. It's subject to being cut. And it's losing enough blood we pass away. All kinds of things happen to the outside physical remains. It will wrinkle too as time goes along. There'll be joints that will give us a pain that we have. But we have that physical side of life. But that is a spirit within us. That spirit goes back to God who gave it. The judgment of God is based upon how we lived and behaved in the body. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. As we find ourselves being judged of God, it's based upon what that spirit did while in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If I were doing good, I'd want to be saved by the Lord. I'd thank Him for His hope and salvation as the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. They gladly received His word and they were baptized, 3,000 of them on that day in Acts 2. They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. They'd received the remission of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I today have a wonderful opportunity when we obey the Lord and come into fellowship with Him, that we're in that relationship with Him. And as a result of that, we find ourselves every night before we go to sleep. 1 John 1, in a fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we preserve our spirit's relationship to God on a day-to-day basis by way of our prayer lives. In Acts chapter 8, we read of Simon the sorcerer being converted, baptized into Christ. He saw when other apostles came there to impart to them the Holy Spirit, for none of them had received the Spirit except they had believed. They had the reference there. They had some powers that were given to them. And Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, Peter and John, that the Holy Spirit was given and he made his living by way of magician's work. In fooling the people, they thought he was one great, great man. He wanted now the real thing. And so he offered money to Simon Peter, saying, "Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive this Holy Spirit." He'll have the real power then. Simon Peter said, "Thy heart is not right with God. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you." He wasn't told to go back and be rebaptized by one of the apostles or one of the others there. He was baptized into a relationship with the Lord. But he now was harming that relationship by his desire to offer them money for this power in which he had no right to do. He was told to repent and pray that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. Essentially, that's what's being said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. We don't just confess that we have sinned, Lord, but we intend to not sin this way again in the morning. We intend not to go this way tomorrow. We intend for this to be it, and we want to be forgiven of it now. And as a result of that, the Lord promises us that He is just and faithful and He will forgive us of all our unrighteousness. It's a wonderful relationship that we have with Him in a spiritual way. In 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul said, you have a garden out here and you come up just differently than you do plant what you plant, he said, so it will be with your bodies. It is sown in weakness, physical body, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a terrestrial body, an earthly body, made out of clay, made out of dust. Raised a heavenly body. The wonderful hope of the soul is there resting for us as we find ourselves in the wonderful resurrection hour that we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul will write to the brethren at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed and go to meet the Lord in the air. He tells them, if you're worried about those that have already died and been buried away, he said, don't worry about that. They'll come forth and they will go to meet the Lord in the air. They'll precede us. But we will go with them and meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful blessing it is to have that hope that when we die, all is not done. Our influence certainly goes on, that's for sure. But more than that is involved with our ways of life will go on. That's what it is. A spiritual walk with the Lord. Sown in weakness, raised in power. The songwriter picked that up and said, ever to live in paradise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Indeed, there is a hope that we have as we go along. We enjoy the songs and enjoy the melodies of those songs. But I don't know if it is the case that every time we sing that we'll say to the Lord, I'll do this, do that, do the other. I wonder if we're saying to the Lord when we get there what we won't have done. I rather think that the Scripture sets forth the idea that we'll ask of the Lord, what do you want me to have done? What can I do with you here in heaven? And thus the relationship with Him is a wonderful relationship of love and power. We are new. Well, we know people over there in heaven. Well, in Luke chapter 16, we're told that Lazarus died and was buried. But he knew the rich man who also died and was buried. And he was on that other side of that great gulf. The rich man remembered that he had 5 brothers back home. Send Lazarus to them and testify to them about this terrible place that I'm in. I'm tormented in these flames. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. God sent Moses and the prophets to speak the word of the Lord and how they should live and how they should behave. Don't be a person of thievery. Don't be a person of murder. Don't be a person of false intent. Be a person who's honest and honorable and dependable, worships God in spirit and in truth. Be a person who does that. The rich man argued with him. He said, oh, no. They have Abraham and the prophet. They have Moses and the prophets, all right. But he said, they would believe if somebody came to them from the dead. They knew this person and they knew he was laid there and he was miserable in case and he died and he's now in paradise. And if he went back and talked to them, they would believe. And it was said to them, no, they wouldn't. If they would not be persuaded by the word of the Lord spoken by Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded though one came to them from the dead. They'd think it was just falsehood. You really didn't die, did you, Lazarus? You really didn't die. And you're back here now and you're telling us all about hereafter and we don't believe a word of it. We won't practice this different way of life that we're doing. We want to be wicked in our ways and we're going to do it. Well, that's a possibility. But it was said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have more than Moses and the prophets today. We have Jesus and we have Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. We have Mark and Luke. We have the word of the Lord here in our Bibles. And we can see what God wants of our lives and what He would have us to be. And though we're spiritual inside, are we listening today? Are we worshiping God from within? When we partook of the Lord's Supper, did we see the body of the Lord?
in our minds. When we drank the fruit of the vine, did we see the blood that Jesus shed, total sacrifice for us? When we sang these songs about the hope of heaven and the hope of the soul, did we envision that faraway place and our going there someday? Or did we just concentrate on the sound of the words and the melody of this tune? And that's as much as it is. And when we leave today, we'll leave not with the worship of God having been done, but our own enjoyment, or lack of that enjoyment, on the basis of the outer man. But that inner man is so important to God. And He wants us to be saved from sin, that He sent His Son. And in Luke's account, in reference to Jesus saying, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost," Jesus came and did that. The relationship with the Heavenly Father is of such nature that it was a wonderful relationship that Jesus had. And Jesus, knowing that His hour of death, in which the Spirit would leave His body and His body would be dead and He would be buried in that tomb on the side of that mountain, He prayed to the Father in John 17 at verse 4, and He said, "Father, I've done what Thou sent me to do. I've taught the word that You sent me to teach. I've done the miracles that You sent me to do to show them that I'm from You." Some people ask, why did God not reveal Himself to us in every generation? Why has God not, sometime, some night when I prayed to Him, just showed Himself to me? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, I believe we have the answer of Paul about that. We live by faith and not by sight. God wanted us to live by faith in Him and His Word. He didn't always show Himself to the disciples. He didn't show Himself always in the time of Moses. But when He did, we can believe what Moses said about Him, and we can believe that His word was important, because God said to Moses, "If My people will go in that land, if they'll obey Me and follow Me, I will bless that land. I will bless it abundantly for them. But if they do not, I will take away that land from them." The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 4 that there were many of them that did not obey Him. And as a result, they did not enter into that rest. God's intent was that they obey His word and follow His will. As a result of that, that's the way that God has us to be taught, by His word. He preserves it. When people have had to burn and burn them out by thousands of books and everything, but it's still here. It's still the most published book. Still available for us. Every home in America, they say, has 4 copies of the Bible. Average of 4 per home. Does it gather dust for us, or is it something that we open and we really see the message about how to live and how to behave and how to do, and how God will bless us as a result of that? What a blessing it is to have this particular lesson in view of us as we find ourselves living here on this earth in a relationship with God, and how that God Himself in heaven looks forward to our arrival up there. It'll be the case someday that we'll leave this earthly life. I trust that when we get there, we will be humble people before Him, and that we'll say, "Speak, Lord, Thy servant hears. Command, and I will obey." And that's our relationship to the Lord as we lived here on this earth. And it's now a relationship as we're there in eternity itself. The relationship that we have here on this earth will be something that, as we die, that is gone. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes very vividly, "The dead know nothing under the sun." Read in Ecclesiastes beginning chapter 9.
Don't leave out that last phrase, under the sun. They do not know anything under the sun. They don't know what has happened along the way. We're not allowed to tell them when we get over on life's other side either about the modern computer age in which we lived and the ages that are to come. We don't know when that time will be and what will happen. We may have cars that fly before this is through on this earthly time. But our relationship with the Lord is so important and precious to us. That's what we say. Would you open your Bible or songbook now to number 50? And let's sing together. First. Turn to number 474 as we close today. Brother Jake will lead us in our dismissal prayer. Any other announcements that we need to make today? Would you stand with me together as we sing 474, the first verse? Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessings o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly green. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sing the sweetest song of all.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here together and worship you. Father, it's our prayer that our worship here this morning was acceptable unto you. Father, we continue to lift up those in prayer that are sick, those that are hurting. Father, you know each and every need. Father, we pray that you'll meet those. Father, we pray that you would grant us traveling mercies to our home and bring us back here the next morning. Christ.
Amen. Thank you. With you, Dad. Good to see you. Man, I'm so glad that Jason got a good message.
I hope so.
I hope it works out so well.
I do too. It is.
A little challenge to be done now, but that little challenge is different than every other day.
It is.
What a blessing. Miss May, I'm so glad for you.
I am so glad too, and I hope everything will be going okay Tuesday when we go to the doctor.
Yeah, we have to do a little check to make sure certain amounts and everything, I'm sure.
Right, he's supposed to be keeping up with your
output. Mm-hmm. So I tell you, Mom.
No, it's just
God bless you. Appreciate you guys.
So,
you should rest.
You know,
yes,
you get that big old
stronger and stronger and on, stronger and stronger and taller and taller. And I tell you, you'll be a target someday. Come on.
The Lord bless you, kids.
Oh, my.
Appreciate you. Oh, wow.
Appreciate
you. God bless you. Getting growing taller.
He is. Oh,
bigger, stronger.
Getting the bill. He's a young man.
Okay.